Hello and welcome to Snyder's Return, a tabletop roleplay podcast. My guests today are the perfect combination of high-flying, fish-throwing, adventure-crafting dudes. One of them is definitely the dude. From mixed martial arts to airbending and dice rolling, my guests are reveling in a realm of their own. Fasten your seatbelts, put your tray tables in the upright position as we soar to the sky on Zephyrs and not to the ground like Zeppelins. As I welcome the father and son dynamic duo of TTRPG content creation, Bodie and Tom, aka Homie and the Dude. Welcome both of you to the show.
Incredible, dude.
Can I just say, we've had a couple people do awesome intros, but that tops them all. Yeah. That was by far the best. Thank you so much for that. That was incredible. Thank you. that was amazing.
This is your incredible work. I've just put it into different sentences. It's all your hard work, and a lot of which we'll get to very shortly. But before we get sort of dig into some of the things I alluded to there in the introduction, How did you get into tabletop role-playing games, please?
How did we get into tabletop role-playing games?
Well, I
found love. So I've always loved fantasy, always loved like kung fu films and things like that as a kid. And so when my drama teacher was like, at the boarding school I went to, was like, hey, on a Saturday, I'm going to run a D&D thing with 3rd edition Dungeons & Dragons. I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. And I was a bit of like a kind of closeted wallflower at that point. I was like bearding as a jock in my adolescence, and it was my first time like really like letting out my inner like nerd and like having a great time, and I fell in love with it then. But there was just too much maths for a dyslexic kid like me to be able to handle in 3rd edition. So then I kind of lost touch with it, and then years and years later, I found a group called Node on YouTube, who are attached to Corridor Digital, and they did an actual play series. And then I kind of told Tom about it, and he did a bit of research and found Acquisitions Incorporated. And then from there, we were just locked back in. The moment we watched like one or two of their live PAX East or PAX West shows that they do, and seeing Chris Perkins, you know, doing his thing, and of course the incredible Patrick Rothfuss and you know, Mike Krahulik, and just that whole gang, you know, were just absolutely incredible.
Super inspiring.
Yeah, it just blew us away. We were just like, freak, this is incredible. And we don't even get the inside jokes. Like, we were like, we don't even get the green flame joke, but this is incredible, you know. And so that was kind of my arc. You kind of same time
similar,
the second half of that, basically.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll spin it in a little bit of a different way. So I had a little bit of an experience trying my hand at acting in my 20s, and I really enjoyed those moments where you know you got lost in a character and you could really, really feel emotions, even though they're not yours, they're the characters, but they're kind of yours, and they're, you know, that whole ride of experiential art was super cool and interesting for me. And once we played, I guess we from that Acquisitions Incorporated experience, we then set up a home game, and I immediately got that same feeling again, like this could be a replication of that experience. And it was, and it is, it still is. And there's something about that I just love. And
greatest form of storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
Collaborative as well. So, yeah. I mean, Acquisitions Incorporated clearly set the bar incredibly high. And seeing on the, not only on your streams and all the rest of it, but on the website itself, and we'll get to social shortly. Bodie, you're pushing to hit that bar as well. That's a goal of yours. So,
this guy is both like the part of him that was instilled in me is dangerous, because it comes with a level of drive and determination that is kind of unhuman. And yeah, when I decided that, you know, being a DM was what I loved and creating D&D content is what I loved, there's not a person in this world that will stop me being the best. I will sit at the top of the pile at some point, and people will know my name, but they will know my name because I tell stories that need to be heard. And that's what it's all about for me, is just being, you know, at the top of the pile because of the stories that I've told, because of the tales that I've been through, and I think, you know, achieving those things along the way. I don't want it to be thrown at me. I don't want a viral anything. I want it to be freaking hard, and I want to earn it. And I'm in those trenches at the moment.
It is hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
I mean, there are so many talented GMs and DMs out there that you know, your passion and drive and support that you have from the homie and the dude team, again, which we'll touch on shortly. I'll throw my hat in the ring and say I'll put my weight behind you. So yeah, I'll support you, absolutely.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, well, when I say that, that's friendly competition to other GMs as well. Yeah. Like, I appreciate every GM star, and like, something for me is like, I am a creature of like learning from my environment as a dyslexic. You know, I'm not super, though I can be academic, I'm not by choice. And so, you know, I learn in from experiential things, and I pick up things from people around me. And so actually, you know, being around other GMs that are either of my level or greater is all that I want to be. That's the only place I want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, you set this stall out, and we've spoken about how you got re-engaged with the hobby. So once you were sort of latched into this D20 system that we all enjoy at various levels, and obviously that's subject to the individuals and the groups and things, but where did your journey take you next? You know, you started rolling dice, started with a home game. Where has your journey clearly it went up, because we're going to talk about Sky Zephyrs and the Sky Realm and all the rest of it, but what happened between rolling that first dice on that home game and where we are with the projects that you are working on now?
That's a lovely question. A lot of bad decisions is probably the best answer to that question. But honestly, what we did was we played Lost Mines of Phandelver was the first thing we did, because we're absolute casuals. We're filthy casuals. And we played Lost Mines as a good launching off place. It had the basic rules, which meant, you know, again, not mountains for me to learn. But from there, as soon as we did Lost Mines, everyone knew that I wasn't suited for running modular D&D. Like, everyone could tell that at the table. Like, I just wasn't, and I wasn't feeling it. Like, and it just wasn't going the way we all thought it was going to go. We had great moments and we laughed a lot, but it just wasn't how we thought it was going to go. And so at that point, I was like, I need to do homebrew. It's the only way that we're going to get from me what we need as people just enjoying the game at that point. And so I had planned a whole world, an entire, religious structure, a feudal system. I had planned, you know, a bunch of stuff and made a bunch of notes. And the day before Tom and I were going to begin working on the world building for our homebrew setting, I had a revelation at 4 a.m. I woke up sweating, and I knew that I needed to make something that was different. And the idea that sung to me was floating islands. I couldn't get it out of my head that night. So I went downstairs at 4 a.m. and I started writing. And by the next morning, I came to Tom and I was like, okay, everything we've talked about, scrap that. Let's clear, wipe the whole table, and like, let's get rid of everything.
We presented two options. One was like, okay, we could do the straightforward linear kind of thing that, you know, it's the religious feudal thing, or we could do big project. But big project is going to take big effort. And we were like, yeah, floating islands, that sounds like the one. Let's try. And we didn't really even know what we were getting ourselves into. Sometimes you start on a path and you really don't know where the finish line is, and you just keep going on the path. And, you know, we're now 32 episodes into our Sky Realm series, and
that's set in our homebrew world.
Yeah,
all of that is like a lot of the rules and things, like a lot of that is homebrewed. Like a large proportion of what we do in the Sky Realm is homebrewed. And I think, you know, for me, it was going through that process, man. I needed to go through those early DM jitters. I needed to get through, you know, building my first world. And I promise you as well, this is going to be interesting. We will at some point release the Sky Realm, but it will likely be after I've created another one or two settings and worlds, because I will come back to the Skyrim and be able to refine it in a way that I am currently not able to do, because it is my first full world setting. I have other like smaller settings that are in progress and I'm working on, but there has never been another full world like setting that I have had in place. So we will release that at some point, and we will release the Land Realm, which is another part of our world as well. But that's something that will come much later down the line for sure.
All right. Well, so much there to sort of pick apart and get into, but so that we can help people support you and enjoy your shows and everything, where can people go to find you online and on the internet in general?
So we are Homie and the Dude absolutely everywhere. We have a website where you can find all of our content is somewhere on there. But the places that we're kind of hoping people kind of gravitate to and find their ways to are our YouTube channel holds all of our content, and we actually do TTRPG and MMA content because we love mixed martial arts. So you'll find, for anyone listening who enjoys that, there's a bunch of that in there as well. And then the other place that people really should go is our Discord server. Our Discord server is called the People's Republic. It's named after the largest city in our homebrew world. And it's really a place for the people. It's a place where we are trying to bring together a TTRPG community that enjoys, you know, chewing the shit, having a good time, sharing ideas, you know, vocalizing, you know, concerns, you know, all this kind of stuff. Just a safe, inclusive, fun space that has places for people to promote their work, for people to share memes, for people to chat and play games together, you know, for people to promote home games that they're playing and get new players to join. We're just creating this space. And if you see, you know, we have a bunch of channels, and the server is very rarely quiet. There's not a moment where Tom and I aren't like, oh my God, this is just not, this is crazy. Like, it just doesn't stop. But because of that, it's a beautiful space. We've got people from all over the world. You know, we have people from, you know, the Philippines, people from Canada, America, South America, you know, like literally all over the world in there. And it's just beautiful. Like, it's truly a beautiful place, and we're stoked about that. So those would be great places to find us. The final thing I'll say is we do have a Kickstarter that is that we're working on called Sky Zephyrs. Check out the Kickstarter page, whether when this is released it's in pre-launch or it is actually launched. Check it out. It's gonna change your guys' games in ways that you couldn't even expect, with swashbuckling dynamic sky combat that's just going to elevate shit in a whole new way for everyone, which we're super 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 excited about. But yeah, that's where people can find us and what people could search up if they so pleased.
All right, well, I will make sure there are links down in the description below this podcast, so please scroll down, follow those links, support Homie and the Dude. As previously mentioned by yourselves, there's YouTube, Discord. There's also Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Facebook,
TikTok.
You're everywhere, and it's fantastic to see. Fantastic to see. So the Sky Realms and the Sky Zephyrs, I'd like to sort of dig in a little bit of each, because the team you've constructed around yourselves to move this is both a family and a family. And I know the emphasis sounds very similar, but the meanings are slightly different. So what has it been like to work as a team with the family that is like a family?
That's a banging question. That's one of my favorite questions we've ever been asked. Go for it. You give your opinion first and I'll dive in second.
I think it started with way back when Bodhi and I just wanted to do some stuff over COVID, and that was the start of it. From there, we've always used a term which is La Familia. So we talk about
you took my YouTube argument.
And when we talk about La Familia, we talk,
give the origin of that.
Of La Familia?
Yeah. Because for us as a family, La Familia means a lot. And then we've extended that out at this point. But go for it.
Yeah, it's been based around close friends of the family that we sometimes go on holiday with, or we spend time with. And it's kind of an extended version of our family. Very close friends that we've just almost adopted into our family, and we just call it our La Familia. And then we extended that to Homie and the Dude, which is both community. So when people come in and are, you know, really, really passionate community members that really want to get to know us and everything, we consider them La Familia, but equally the team that we built, which includes my wife and Bodhi's mom, Tracy, is we're actually, you know, mother, father, son as part of a family. But we also have, you know, our extended team, which in a sense as well is pretty darn close. So, you know, our team, a lot of the work that we do is in one place, which is in a home that we have that is also an office space. And that is where we work. We will go out for a drink afterwards. We'll go out for meals. We'll, you know, we're just talking about doing a paintball trip after the Kickstarter as a reward to ourselves after the Kickstarter. And that's just kind of how we like to operate.
That's how we do things. And it's been like that since I was a kid. You know, my friends have always been family, and, you know, Tracy's friend. And we just have this little bubble that has always been La Familia, which is a reference to Fast and Furious, of course. we thought that was very funny at the time. It's something, you know, and every person that joins us on this journey joins that La Familia group. You know, we are here and doing what we're doing. We're trying to make something of this and of ourselves, but we can't do that without all the people that are supporting us. And we like really acknowledge and appreciate how much like those people who are joining us on this journey are actually part of this journey with us. They are in this with us and are joining us for that. That's why, you know, when people ask us about Sky Realm and Sky Zephyrs and things like that, I always say to them, this is my love letter. This is my love song, you know, to the community. I'm here writing, you know, from the deepest part of my soul, trying to create something that, you know, will be used for generations to come, you know, set the gold standard for vehicle combat, you know, gold standard for, you know, building vehicles for 5e. And, you know, I'm doing that not because, you know, yes, because we want to turn this into something where we can do this as a job, but I'm doing that because I freaking love D&D. I love this community. I'm so thankful for the people that are around us. I'm trying to give back at this point. And so I just hope people play my love song on repeat for, you know, years to come. That's all I really want. And you know, with this product and what we've been working on. So, dude, to be part of a family doing this is the greatest honor. And to have us doing it, you know, our actual blood family, then our closest friends who are part of filming, you know, my best friend Ryan was part of the first like 20 episodes of the Sky Realm. You know, whether it's the team or then the extended fans and people who are supporting us, dude, it's the greatest honor.
Pretty cool.
It's the greatest honor. Yeah. It's amazing.
It sounds, sorry to sort of cut you off there. It does sound incredible. And you mentioned sort of doing things and writing this love letter, and I can see that the harmony and the sort of the real clear connection between you as a family and your love for the contributors and the team and the La Familia, as you've mentioned. You mentioned the Kickstarter, and I'd love to sort of hear how your passion is being brought to us at our gaming tables through your Kickstarter, Sky Zephyrs.
Do you want to dive in with something?
It is a team effort. I think the impetus of Sky Zephyrs was that, well, we were playing our actual play in the sky, and as part of that, there's a big part of travel and also interactions, encounters that at some point needed to be considered for any kind of, you know, if there's a pirate ship that's approaching. Okay, well, let's look at what's out there. What could we use out in the D&D world mechanic-wise, you know, whether it's through Spelljammer or through Eberron or, you know, let's say Ghost of Saltmarsh. Yeah. Mechanics that somehow address vehicle combat, whether it's up in the sky or wherever. And what we found, and I think what other people have found, is there's good stuff as far as like bits and pieces of different things, and people have patched things together as well. So there's not just the D&D content. There are other third-party types of mechanics out there. But it just always felt like, and always the community always felt like this hasn't really been, the commitment to doing this right has not been approached by WotC or by any other third-party publisher in a way that gives it justice. And if you think about vehicles, to some extent, that could be just substantial in just about any D&D setting, whether it's land, sea, sky, space, whatever. And so that was our mission. Once we found out that there was an incomplete sentence, we wanted to you know, correct that. And our impetus for the last year has been devising something that addresses it across all of those different terrains, let's say.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, in this, you know, so Sky Zephyrs is the Kickstarter itself is called Sky Zephyrs, a comprehensive guide to airship combat and travel. By Galmer and Sapper, are the two characters that have written this book, basically, which you will have loads of quotes. We have loads of quotes and interaction from those characters. You'll see their art throughout the book many, many times. It's written from their perspective and things like that. But what we've done is we have created a complete overlay for Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. We have created new mechanics for three-dimensional movement that can be used on two-dimensional planes. We have created new aircrew systems that allow you to, you know, utilize an aircrew to whatever degree you want them. If you want them as individuals, you got it. If you want them to be in the background doing their own thing, you've got that as well. Mm-hmm. As well as a, you know, super comprehensive command system for that aircrew as well, so that players have a bunch more options based on their role on the ship and things that they're doing like that, that they can give the aircrew as well. You know, along with that, you know, we have a complete build your own airship system that you will allow people to fully modify, customize, and build their own airships. Along with that is the application that we're creating, the website application that will essentially just be, you know, a couple of clicks, bing, bam, boom, choose your parts, click export, and it's going to give you a PDF with a stat block and a bill for how much it costs to make that in game. Mm-hmm. And then your DM or your players are going to be able to have that and modify it as time goes on, buy new parts, upgrade, you know, repair, all that kind of stuff. So that's the core of this. And then obviously all the, you know, nitty gritty stuff that melts all of that together and links all those separate things that I've mentioned. Of course, you know, like any D&D supplement, we have got, you know, close to 20 NPCs that are fully fleshed out, stat blocked crews that you can use on the 20 or so airships that we're providing that are, you know, already made for you guys to just plug and play in your games. On top of that as well, we've got a bunch of creatures and mounts that will be included with brand new trigger actions that we're adding into stat blocks and mounted actions that we're adding into stat blocks. From that as well, spells, items, you know, all that good stuff. And one of the biggest ones that often is kind of pushed to the side and kind of, you know, left, but is actually a massive part of our supplement is our new player feats. These are going to allow brand new background creation and like character creation based on what the feats are. They're also going to allow you to work on an airship in a specific way and take up a certain role on an airship, as well as also then command the crew in very specific and special ways that are just based on you and that feat that you have taken. We're just hyped. Like, there's so much content here for people to get their hands on. And, you know, more than that, this system is dialable to max crunch, minimum crunch, and all those kinds of things. So if you want it to be, you know, you're using every single rule in this book, amazing. If you want to take one character or one creature or one rule, then that's fine as well. We want it to suit your world, your system. And because of that, the final thing I'll mention is there will be a chapter that will allow people to convert these rules to naval and space combat as well. Though it is primarily based around airships and sky combat, there will be a chapter that will advise people on how they can customize it and modify the rules there to suit their naval and spaceship-based combats.
Wow. Wow. So a question then, because you've laid out so many awesome things that we can sort of pick, choose, tailor, utilize, integrate at our own gaming tables. For each of you individually, what has been your favorite part to create within this project?
I know what mine is.
Oh, God. Okay, go on. Yeah.
As part of the book, Bodhi didn't even mention it, but there's a bit of lore in the book. So there's aspects of the lore, which is the interaction between the two characters. And the two characters are characters with a small c, but also characters with a capital C. They interact in a way that conveys how peculiar each of them are. But as part of that, a subset of that is the creation of sky shanties. So we've been creating sky shanties that are like little like jingles
in the downtime chapter. Yeah,
in the downtime chapter. Yeah,
that's a cool one.
So that's been a lot of fun.
It has been actually. It's been a good bit of fun.
I also get a lot of satisfaction from, you know, when Bodhi turns a paragraph in a certain way and just describes whether it's a creature or just it could even be a mechanic. You know, aspects of movement where we've just come across something. You know that. That light bulb inspiration moment that you get, and it just all clicks in perfectly. Those have been really satisfying as well.
Yeah. I think for me, the funnest thing that I've created, that's so hard because it's so much at this point. but I think for me, I mean, the most satisfying thing to create was the movement system. I feel like we have nailed it down so that it's super interesting. It's dynamic. It can be like chess. It's swashbuckling. You know, it's like dogfights. It feels like, from what we've play tested, it feels like you're trying to predict movements. You know, you're trying to outsmart your opponent, and that's something that I'm really, really excited about. But I think funnest thing to create for me, there's a feat called the Cuisiner. And the Cuisiner feat is for anyone who wishes to be the chef of their airship. And the Cuisiner has the ability to create meals that give buffs to the team and the air crew and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that I enjoyed most creating was they can create snacks. And I made a table of snacks that give different like little buffs and things like that to players, and just choosing some of my favorite snacks and putting those in there, you know, getting some pakora in there, and you know, getting some little bits and bobs, was like chocolate brownie and stuff, was just real pleasant for me. I really enjoyed writing that, and that was a good laugh. But yeah, so those would be mine too.
I have another one as well.
Yeah, oh, go for it.
We haven't mentioned our writing partner Tony.
Oh God, yeah.
But the interaction, especially between Bodhi and Tony, at times is kind of what you'd picture like a writer's room interaction, where ideas are bouncing back and forth off of each other. And we tend to think that Tony is a little bit more expansive in his, you know, in his possibilities. Whether we call them extreme or outrageous
outright crazy.
Yeah. And Bodhi kind of tempers that down. And the amalgamation of that interaction produces a lot of the content, which is really, really creative, but also manageable and works within the mechanics. So that's always fun to watch those two pinging ideas off of each other.
I mean, I'm certainly hungry for more going off of the cuisine. I thought it a bit odd that Bodhi, keep your land realm writer grounded.
Oh,
nice one.
That was good. Yeah, that was hilarious. That was very clever. That was very clever, Adam. I do. You're totally right. And yeah.
And by the way, you've gone deep with the research.
I was gonna say that. Not many people know that he's writing the land realm right now.
It's all available. It's information they can find when they follow the links down below to come and support you. So when can they support the Kickstarter? When's it kick off officially?
That's a great, great question. And the answer is we're aiming for an August launch at the moment is what we're aiming for. We essentially are going to deliver the beta PDF upon completion of the Kickstarter to all of the people straight away, along with a bunch of other stuff that, you know, based on stretch goals and other things that are hit, we'll be giving out pretty much immediately as well. The reason we're aiming for August is we want to make sure that PDF is arted, laid out beautifully, got all version one that we're super, super happy with, and that, you know, all the people are happy with, all that kind of stuff. Mm. And then from there as well, we're making sure that shipbuilder application website is going to be up and running, and hopefully upon completion ready to be used or ready to be you know, logged into and, you know, essentially taken off and used by all of you guys in the community. But yeah, so that's why we've chosen that kind of like August release for ourselves. And I'll just say as well, because just saying there, this is one of the first times that we sat aloud. We're releasing the beta PDF for this because we've play tested it internally and we love the system and we love all the stuff that we've created. But something that, you know, we pride ourselves on, it's what we stand for here at Homie and the Dude, is connections. We are all about building connections and growing with people. So because of that, we're releasing the beta here so that everyone can have their say. We want you guys to tell us what is the right way to go about this. We're giving you what we think is the right way with this beta, and then we want to hear from you guys what you like, what you don't like, what needs to be fixed, what, you know, damage needs to be upped, what what thresholds need to be reduced, what ACs need to go. We want you guys to tell us where we have gone wrong, because more than anything, this is, like I said, for you guys. So what we're going to do is release the beta and then give you guys a couple months to give feedback, and then we will be updating it to the final PDF based on all of our playtesting feedback from the community upon release as well.
So with respect to feedback, is it best for people to join your Discord and then feedback through there, or are you going for more of a mailing list, or how is best for those once they're in receipt of this beta to sort of provide that feedback to you?
It will likely be two places. We will give people the option of what's easier for them. We will likely give them like an email or a survey, a jot form like survey that they can fill out and give their kind of information to there, and do that through whatever email they receive upon completion. Or the other option is, yes, we do currently have a section being built in our Discord server ready for when we do launch. That will be all the playtest stuff. We will create forums in there. You know, we'll have different channels where people can talk about different stuff. And then probably, you know, a general place where people can leave things if they don't know where to put it. But yes, we will hopefully open that up to the community and have two very active places where people can do that.
So until that beta is released and the Kickstarter launches in August, and if you're listening to this after August, either back it or retrospectively go back and buy it.
Yes, it will be available on the website, and the Shipbuilder, you can get subscriptions to that once it's out as well.
But you've also been busy putting out supplements and dice and so many other things. Again, your work ethic is astounding. There's NPCs, there's crew packs, there's monsters. I love the Rose Panda, by the way. Panther, sorry, not Panda. That's something entirely different. Make a note of that. Rose Panther looks phenomenal. The artwork attached to that monster is phenomenal. So what is it like sort of not throwing everything out, but being able to generate and provide so much content? Because there's more I want to get onto, but I'd really love to understand this side of things as well.
when Bodhi mentioned at the beginning that it's all kind of happening, it's an organic
learning
approach
process.
And we have experimented with certain things, and we're ultimately hanging on and narrowing down our focus on the things that we have the most passion for, the most energy for, and we think that our team is best suited for. It just so happens that has been a wide range of things that we can take forward. But currently we're really, really focusing on this element, this Sky Zephyrs element, knowing that, you know, in future Kickstarters, we could add some dice to a Kickstarter, or we could, you know, we have a backlog, as you've seen, of NPCs, of
battle maps,
of all sorts
like
of stuff that
stuff.
Are supporting this Kickstarter as it is, but also that stuff can eventually support other future Kickstarters as well. So it seems like everything that we've created so far is complementary, which is great. And that's been sort of by accident. Here's the thing, Adam, would you have guessed that however many podcasts you're in right now, that your setup, your knowledge of whatever platform you're on, your selection of your guests, all of these things, you just can't map out from the beginning where you're going to get to down the road. It just all sort of happens, and you're learning different things along the way, and you're finding out through trial and error and through successes and, you know, and challenges and all that. And so we feel, it's weird because I feel super, super informed in this space right now, but I know that in 6 months from now, I'm going to look back on, you know, Tom and Bodhi and the rest of the team and say, look at how much we didn't know. It just keeps and it almost keeps multiplying in knowledge base. Yeah.
I think, do you know what, as well, you talked about like work ethic and like, how are we putting out so much content? The answer is Tom works more hours than anyone at a normal job, and he is doing our job and then his actual job outside of this. And somehow he's finding time to do all of that. It's because he doesn't sleep. But the other thing is, I'm also up in the middle of the night writing a lot of nights. Like we're family people, you know. I've got a partner, Tom's, you know, got a wife, and so we're making sure we're there for our, you know, our partners. So we're doing this stuff out of like, you know, family time and relationship time and whatnot. And so we hustle, and I promise you now, there's people out there that hustle, Adam, and are working hard, but no one on this planet is like got the work ethic that is in this room between me and Tom. It's not even a comparison. It just really isn't. And because of that, and because we've instilled that in our team now, I have to shout out our team. We wouldn't have been able to make the content that we've been able to make and put out, you know, the amazing stuff that we've said. You know, you talked about our art, our incredible artist, Alex Kostic from Serbia, at Art of Kostic on all platforms. One of the greatest TTRPG artists in the world. One of my favorite people on this planet. Like, we would be nowhere without that guy. We'd be nowhere without Ben, who does he's pretty much jack of all trades, but leads with social media and managing and marketing and things like that. You know, we'd be nowhere without our editor, Becky. And, you know, like at the end of the day, we are a product of the environment that Tom and I create and the people that we are with. And that is the only reason we have been able to do what we do, because we have chosen to, and we put the people there to do it. And we're lucky to have the people around us that do put the work in. Don't get me wrong, there are a bunch of bloody slackers sometimes, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're super thankful, and we try and create a really good environment that means that we all come away, and you know, Ben will stay and work, you know, an hour late because he wants to, because he wants to finish the task that he's on, because he's, you know, driven to do that. And you know, that's what we're trying to create and build, and you know, this you know, empire that we're building here at Homie and the Dude is, you know, going to be a place where anyone who does work for us, you know, will be appreciated. And in this space where we're trying to make it so you can be passionate about the things you want to be passionate about, and that works with us, you know. And so that's what it's all about here, man. We're just trying to freaking live the dream. and for a while, for like the last 2 years, we didn't know what the dream was. So that's why you saw so much stuff. We were just trying to work out what the dream was. And we're a bit closer to that now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like empires, and your work ethic and your focus has evolved. Unarmed combat has evolved. And does that tie into your sort of MAA love, or was that just a gap in the 5e sort of setup that you felt that you guys could really address and bring to the fore?
Can I just compliment you on your
research?
Well, not just that, but your clever quips have been very impressive. Your tangential, like,
puns.
Yeah, your puns.
That's English, though. That's English people through and through. Though, English people have got that stuff on.
Pretty
lock.
Damn impressive, they got that stuff on, Adam, lock. I have to say.
I would say, sorry, I completely forgot the question.
Unarmed combat.
Ah, that's a great question. Shout out to Mark Garcusha from Cast Eye Podcast, who we made that supplement with, and who, in the future, we will definitely be releasing our mixed martial arts class for Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, which will be a Kickstarter at some point. It's something that we've had in it's a file, you know, in our filing cabinet that's waiting to be pulled out and finished. We've done like 90% of the work on that, and are hopefully going to release that. But it came from, dude, we love MMA, we love martial arts, we love, you know, we love fighting. We love combat sports. You know, I competed for many years. We've both done martial arts. You know, we see the value in its honor, in its, you know, in its respect, in, you know, the art of war, almost, I guess. We both appreciate that, you know, though it's bloody and gory, we appreciate the art of war. And I think for us, yeah, 5e is just like, yeah, you unarmed strike. And it's like, for more than anything, what we realize is that for anyone who doesn't know mixed martial arts, you are essentially, if you're asking someone to make an unarmed strike, you're asking them to come up with a type of way that they're hitting someone. if you are a standard person who doesn't watch any martial arts or watch like boxing or anything like that, you're like, oh, I'm going to slap him, you know, or like,
I'm gonna bop him.
So many people go, I'm gonna boop him, you know, I'm gonna boop him. That's the classic one that I've heard all the time. And we wanted to give people options of what are realistic strikes that you are gonna see in either a street fight, a cage fight, or, you know, battle, basically, that would essentially make sense to use as an unarmed strike. So that's why you'll see things like low leg kicks, you know, knees to the body. You'll see knee stomps, you know, things like that, that are very specific techniques and things that are used for used in martial arts and stuff. And that's, we just felt there was a gap. As someone who loved martial arts, I was like, why aren't I getting a bonus for elbowing this guy on the top of his head? Like, come on now, there needs to be something here. Like, that's not just a 1d4 of damage. Come on now, you know, kind of thing. So I think that was what it stemmed from.
So pushing from, I don't want to wrap you up. That's a quote from your website, by the way. pushing from mixed martial arts all the way through to the sort of the fantasy scale of that into the anime scale of that. Mm. Your Avatar game, has it drawn its last breath, or is there more to come from that?
Oh,
you're good, man.
Dude,
you're good.
Dude, you're nailing this. Your questions are top class. So yes, we did our Avatar Legends 4-episode short series for people to enjoy. It's set at the inception of the 100-Year War.
It's a great story.
Based around the attacks on the air nomads that the Fire Nation basically does. It's what starts the 100-Year War, and it's when Aang disappears, basically. And we tell the story of, you know,
forgotten heroes
that are lost to time, and you know, no history has been written about these heroes in the Avatar lore, but that's why we needed to fill that gap. No, the answer is no. We're gonna record another likely 4-episode miniseries that will be a prequel to that series, using the same characters when they were younger, when they were first getting to know each other, and it will be a lot more lighthearted and a lot more fun. The way Avatar, you know, the show is, and you know, things like that, a little bit more based around that kind of stuff, as opposed to, you know, ours is a very dark story, a very sad story, a very heavy story that involves a lot of, you know, a lot of sad moments and conflict. But it's beautiful for that exact reason.
I was going to say the same thing. It you know, to tell that story in that part of the history of Avatar, it would have been an injustice to
make it goofy.
To make it, you know, yeah. You know, within the storytelling, certainly there are moments of levity, but that is a pretty painful part of the arc of the Avatar story, and we wanted to do it justice, and we feel like we did. It was pretty heavy. It was, as far as the spectrum of emotions, we really
at least one cast member was crying every session. At least one of us was crying every session.
In between little chuckles here and there. And, it was a really satisfying experience as one of the players, for sure.
But yes, we will be bringing that back in. Our hope is, going forward after this Kickstarter, we'll be doing more shorter-based content, where we'll be keeping the Sky Realm going, but we'll be doing shorter-based content set in different settings. Our next one is likely going to be space, but we're just working on little short-based things, stories that we want to tell. Because we heard a quote, and I think, you know, for any DM who hasn't heard this out there, this is big if you're ever thinking about making an actual play or thinking about getting on the internet. Don't tell a story unless you feel it has to be told. Unless you feel that story has to be told, it really doesn't need to be. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I could say for when you're creating actual plays. And that's kind of what we're trying to find, is more stories that we feel like, damn, that needs to be told. So like, people need to hear the story of these characters, because it's so beautiful, it's so amazing, it's so spectacular, it's so scary, you know, whatever it is. We kind of lead with that mentality, you know, and go about things like that when we're creating our video content, for sure.
I really feel that way with that 4-part series. It was those characters. I just love those characters.
My
so
gosh.
Much.
Yeah. It was beautiful. Yeah. I would say, if anyone, don't get me wrong, the Sky Realm, an incredible story, best freaking cast in the world. But if you want to watch top level RPGs where full spectrums of emotions are explored, and you know, a real story that is not, you know, a hero's freaking tale is told, then check out our Avatar series, because it's really, really great for that. I think it's the best content we've ever created.
Yeah, it's
for sure.
Pretty cool.
In terms of video content, that is.
All right. Well, you can follow the four-part adventures of Avatar: The Last Breath through the Homie and the Dude website. So please scroll down, follow those links, and enjoy the powerful emotion portrayed by the cast and the great production behind everything you guys do, which is
Thanks,
amazing. And a shout out to your cast members. You've had some fantastic people join you from across, from various shows and across the community. So shout out to them as well, of course.
Yeah, of course. Amber, Sam, Blake, Ben, Ryan, you guys are the best. Tracy, Mum, of course, you guys are the best. Thank you for being on the shows.
So you mentioned they're doing some short form content. Your love for D&D is clear to see. Not trying to rhyme, but it did. And the Avatar game is powered by the apocalypse. Are there other systems you've got half an eye on? You mentioned space, but that covers a whole gamut of systems and styles and all this sort of stuff. Are there other systems you're excited to play that you've got on a short list?
Funny you should mention.
Oh yeah. So what I would say is what we intend to do going forward is we intend to try a bunch of new systems. Now, all the content that we create after this Kickstarter, we are going to make TTRPG agnostic. So every bit of content we make will be TTRPG agnostic. It will be so that you can use it for any system or anything like that. And any mechanics we make will be add-ons that may or may not relate to a system. It will be something that you can plug into any system, things like that. But with that being said, we definitely want to play some other systems. And with that being said, all that content that we do release going forward, we will be still releasing D&D conversions that will still suit our Sky Zephyrus stuff, and any vehicles that we use in those new systems and things like that, we will be creating for our shipbuilder application so people can have the parts and things like that as well. So we're not straying away from D&D at all. It still will be, you know, our hub, but we want to make sure that people who aren't just doing D&D get a bit of what we're doing as well. And with that being said, some systems that you can expect us to play are, we will likely play the One Ring, which is the Lord of the Rings TTRPG at some point, because I just need to. we will likely play Blades in the Darkness or something like that. That's one that we've that's one that we've looked at. And the one that we will be using for our space-based campaign, and that we have already been practicing in and playing in and getting ready for that space-based campaign, is Orbital Blues. And in my opinion, I think it's the greatest system I've ever seen or played. I think Orbital Blues is freaking top-notch TTRPG content. So we will be playing that system for when we do our actual play. But like I said, all of our stuff will be converted for 5e and things like that as well. So yeah.
That is amazing, and I'll be keeping an eye out. I've heard good things about Orbital Blues. I haven't had the chance to play myself, but definitely sort of keeping an eye out for when that comes onto the various locations you put content out, YouTube and all the others. I would normally ask what you do for downtime, but I'm getting the sense downtime.
there's a couple things.
I'm better at it than you are.
You are better at it. My downtime, like one of the things that I really enjoy during downtime, we're in front of a camera, but it is a different situation. We are watching MMA through the UFC's pay-per-views, and it's unscripted. It's about 5 or 6 hours, and we're just enjoying. What we would be doing without the camera in front of us, we're just live streaming, hanging out, watching an MMA night, basically. So I really, really enjoy that. Otherwise, Tracy, my wife and Bodhi's mom, and I are building out a camper van. And that's basically, for me, that's going to force me to unplug, because we're going to get in the camper van and just go somewhere for a weekend. And I'm really, actually really, really looking forward to that. I need that more than anything.
But more than anything, actually, your downtime is yoga and meditation. That's you use a lot of your downtime for your yoga and meditation at this point, because you don't have much downtime. But when you do, you're keeping the 57-year-old body in check and keeping that mind in check as well.
Yeah. And yours?
For me, I'm 25, so I can stay up late still. You know, I'm more than capable of, you know, handling a bit more of a kind of wild social schedule than Tom is. So, you know, I have a very close, tight-knit group of friends that I spend time with. I play a lot of Counter-Strike Global Offensive, is one of the few video games that I still very much frequent. Same with Chivalry 2 is another one that I play consistently. Outside of that, I've been a skateboarder for 14 years of my life, and I just can't seem to stop no matter how much I injure myself. I just can't seem to stop. And so, I try and skateboard pretty frequently as well. Outside of that, you know, a standard 25-year-old things, party, you know, drink with friends, you know, goof around. I'm as a skateboarder and a bit of a rapscallion, you know, I have a saying that's, you know, if you're not climbing a fence a day, then you're not keeping the doctor away, you know. I like to be a little bit of a rapscallion at times, but for me, it's more than anything, actually, my downtime is spent with my partner. I dedicate a lot of my life that I'm not spent doing work, spending time with her, making sure that our relationship is nurtured, making sure that, you know, we are happy, working good together, that she's getting what she needs from me, that we're going out and doing stuff. And I think that's a huge one for me at this point. And you know me, like if I'm having a day with Nikki, I'm like, no contact, I'm not answering the phone to anyone, you know, that kind of thing. So that's just kind of how it is, you know, for me.
Full respect and glad that you were able to, each of you in your own way, get some time, which I guess allows you to put more of yourselves into your products and into your work and all that sort of good stuff. And so that we can go and follow you and find your good work and things, where can we find you online, please?
So at Homie and the Dude on all social medias, so across every platform. YouTube channel for every piece of video content we've ever made is on that YouTube channel. On top of that, you know, our Discord server, which is called the People's Republic, our newsletter, which is our newsletter of holding, which we actually give away free supplements if you want, like, battle maps and like NPCs. We give away NPCs sometimes and things like that. And also you can keep up to date with projects that we are working on. So for example, you know, when all the updates about the airship combat stuff that we're doing, we're posting in the Discord server and our newsletter. So those are the best places to keep up to date with that stuff.
That is phenomenal. I will make sure there are links down in the description below this podcast. So please scroll down, follow those links, support Homie and the Dude on all the platforms that you can find them on. Again, there's links on the website and there'll be some down below for you to follow. Please go and get notified for the Kickstarter, or go and support the Kickstarter, or go and retrospectively buy the product and buy into the overlay for Sky Zephyrs. To the pair of you, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, learning about you as individuals, you as La Familia, and your
welcome. Welcome to La Familia. Welcome, dude. It's an honor to have been able to have spoken to you too today, man.
Thank Agreed.
You.
Yeah.
I'd love to get you back on the show when some more of your projects or more of your shows come to fruition. Clearly, you know, you're concentrating, but I'd love to get you back on the show so we could discuss more topics.
And do you know what? Vice versa, you know, we don't actually, you know, because we've been focusing on the Sky Zephyrs Kickstarter so much this year, we have only done one podcast, one like talk show podcast that we usually do, like at least one a month kind of thing, or like one every couple months. We haven't done one for a while, so it'd be awesome to have you on so we could dive into you know, this podcasting work that you're doing, these amazing interviews, how you're doing your research, you know, all that kind of stuff. And also, dude, just your love for TTRPGs as well. It'd be great to, you know, you've picked us a, you know, picked us apart here and gotten to know us a bit better. I would love to see your inner sanctum as well and work out a bit more about what's going on with Adam and Snarr's return and all that good stuff. So yeah, that'd be an honor for us as well.
And you certainly set the bar high for this year with B. Dave Waters as your opening gambit. So
Yeah. I'm not sure how we're gonna. It's gonna be a crazy one to try it.
Well, I think that's the problem. Like, where do we go?
Like, what do we do now? Is that just the end? Do we stop there?
Well, we will find out together, I guess. But yeah, love to get you back. Been such a fantastic chat with you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Cheers, thank you so much, Adam. Appreciate you. Shout out to Adam, everyone.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the show, then go to www.snidersreturn.squarespace.com. Alternatively, you can find us over on Twitter at ReturnSnyder. We have a Linktree link in the description of this episode. And if you want to support us, come and join us over on Patreon. And we also have a Discord server. Please leave us a review, because we'd love to learn how to improve the channel and provide better content out for those who are listening. Until we speak again, thank you.